You're listening to the ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at houstonsfirst.org. Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. Here's Greg Mott.
What a great, great moment for us to be able to take a step in being a part of the story. It's been an amazing thing. I know God's been working because every sermon that I've preached on stewardship, four sermons, every one, someone's walked out. So I know God is moving. He's doing his work, and he's doing his work in ways that we can't explain, but it's great, great stuff. You know, our church has been a church on the move. It's always been a church that said, you know what, we're not just satisfied with status quo. We're not satisfied with staying put. We want to take a step forward. We want to go forward. In 1848, there was a guy named Rufus Burleson. He was one of our first pastors. He got to the port of Galveston. It wasn't when you could fly into Intercontinental or fly into Hobby or come on a train someplace. You came in on a boat, and so he came in on this boat, and he came into Galveston, and when he got to Galveston, he was coming to be the pastor of this church, to come to be a part of what we were doing, of what God was doing through our church, in our story, and he bowed on his knees in Galveston, and he said this phrase, "Give me Texas for Jesus, or I will die. Give me Texas for Jesus, or I will die." He had such a passion, such a heart of looking forward, such a heart of saying, let's go for the next person. Let's find the person that doesn't know Jesus, and let's invite them in to be a part of the story of what God is doing. Do you know that God tested that man's faith? He got disease twice. He got two different diseases and almost died. When yellow fever was sweeping through Houston, he stood firm and said, I'll stand and I'll pastor through this, and ended up getting it, and he survived and made it through. But he stood forward and he said, give me Texas for Jesus or I will die. Do we still have that same kind of passion? Do we have that same kind of heart today in these weeks and these months and these years coming up that we don't say, well, everything looks great to me. I've got a lot of friends here. Everybody's here and surrounding me and all is well. There's nothing I need to push forward with. Or do we still have that kind of heart that comes into the port and says, I want Texas. I want Houston. I want the world. See, in his world, he could only envision a church in Houston reaching out to Texas. But you and I both know that this church not only reaches out to Houston, it reaches out to Texas. It not only reaches out to Texas, it reaches out to the country. It not only reaches out to the country, but it reaches out internationally. We go on 28, 30 mission trips a year internationally. God is doing so many great things. And the vision that we've had for this entire Be a Part of the Story campaign has been, yes, to reach Houston, that we want to get this room back to a spot where it would be a usable tool, that we could have it on cutting edge so that it would be as sharp as possible. Because all the ministry we do as a church, this is the place where the rock goes in the pond. This is a spot where it goes out. From here goes Bible study. From here goes missions. From here goes support group. From here goes pastoral care. From this room. In this room, it's time for us to step forward and to say, you know what? We want this room to be able to be the most usable tool that God could have in his hands. We don't want to have anything hinder us. We don't want a person not to be able to hear. We don't want a person not to be able to see. We want to be able to have this spot be when people walk in, they go, yes, in 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, God is moving and this is a relevant spot. But if we don't want to just reach out to this room here, we want to reach out to the next generation. So capital projects of improvements in our children and preschool and different things that just need to be done that God just wants us to step forward and to do. So in that spot to say, let's reach out to the next generation with the capital improvements. But we also want to prepare ourselves in good stewardship to be able to retire the debt, not reduce the debt, retire the debt, be done with it. So $1 million a year would come back into our budget. Instead of us sending it to the bank, we could send it out into ministry. But we don't want to end there. We want to reach the world because we know it's not give me Texas or die. It's give me the world, the inheritance of all the lost. So we're going to give money away to missions and to be able to say, God, we want to take 10% of what comes in to be able to give away to missions. And in that spot, we come to this juncture. That's not new information to you. If that's new information, then welcome to our church today. But to be able to step forward and to say, we want to be a part of the story, that our leadership has already stepped forward, raising $11,900,000 to step forward and say, we're in to the congregation. We're handing you the ball on the 10-yard line. You take it across the goal line. that God wants to make us a part of the story and to use us in such a great way, but it always takes a step of faith. It always takes a step of faith. And today we'll take that step. And then on November 18th, the weekend before Thanksgiving, we'll tell and we'll release, we'll let everyone know what it is that God has done with that number. So be here on that special day. Why not next week? Well, we want to give people time that maybe aren't here today to be a part of the story, that maybe they're going to mail in their commitment or their pledge. On it goes. But to be able to say in 2 weeks from this time, we'll be able to say, this is what God has done. Now, obviously, over 3 years commitment, people will come in and they'll be a part of that story that we don't know right now. People that we'll share Christ with, that'll come to Christ. They'll be a part of the story a year, 2 years from now. But we'll be able to announce that number that we have in 2 weeks from this date. And that will be a tremendously exciting spot. We're in Exodus chapter 36. As we've been looking at the Old Testament of the tabernacle being built. And I'm not going to preach a long time on this. We're just going to kind of throw it out and say, here's some things that God wants us to take home from this. And then we're going to step forward and being a part of the story. And at the end of my message, I'll ask you to fill out that commitment card. You don't need to fill it out now. We're going to give you time. But then to be able to walk forward and to be able to say, God, I step forward as a part of the story. Exodus chapter 36. Last week, we began talking about verse 1. That was the only verse that we covered. Two guys with weird names, Bezalel and Oholiab. But they were folks that stepped forward and said, we are skilled workers. God has given us the skill. Bezalel, he was the man that he built the ark, not Noah, not the ark that floats, but the ark that was worshipped in the Holy of Holies. That ark, the presence of God, he helped build. And then he also built the altar in the worship center. So the presence of God and the worship of God are what he had his hands on. And we declared last week that nothing that we're a part of is going to last hundreds of years except the presence of God and the worship of God. And that's what we get to be a part of in this story. Now let's look in verse 2. It says this, then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and to do the work. And they received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And all the people continued to bring freewill offerings, morning after morning. Let's stop. Moses declared, we have a need. There's a place in the tabernacle. The sanctuary needs to be built. We need to have a spot that's the epicenter of the worship so that it can go out in all ministry throughout the nations. And he says that they came and they brought with them free-willed offerings. See, free-willed offerings and moved hearts is what this whole passage is about. It wasn't about strong-arming. It wasn't about twisting arms. It wasn't about guilt-tripping. It was about free-will offerings. In verse 22 of Exodus 35, it says, all who were willing, men and women alike. Verse 21, everyone who was willing, whose hearts were moved, came and brought an offering to the Lord. Free will offerings. What does that mean? A free will offering is an offering that is given that God has not declared the amount that should be given or the frequency in which it should be given. It's free will. It's deciding in your heart. It's declaring and saying, this is what God has put on my heart. Here's the number that the Lord has laid on my heart. All throughout this time, we've been seeking free will offerings. Not, well, you need to be able to give this, and you need to be able to give that. It's stepping forward to say, here is what God has moved in my heart with a free will offering. And they gave because they wanted to. See, life is best lived in want-tos, not have-tos. Life is best lived in want-tos, not have-tos. Is your life driven by have-tos? Or is your life driven by want-tos? Are you here a part of this morning to be a part of the story because you have to? Do you give because you have to? Or do you give because you want to? Do we parent because we have to? Do we grandparent because we have to? Do we go to work because we have to? Well, sometimes, yes. If the truth be known, do we come to church because we have to? Do we read our Bible because we have to? Do we go to school because we have to? Do we pay our bills because we have to? If the truth be known, sometimes, yes. But when those have-tos are want-tos, it changes everything. A free will offering coming from a moved heart is a want-to. It's not a have to. And when you parent from a want to, when you come to church from a want to, when you study your Bible from a want to, when you learn from a want to, when you give from a want to, that's where you get eternal benefits. That's where you get eternal rewards. God's not looking for any have to's this morning. God's not looking for any forced to's this morning. God is looking for the hearts of his people that so understand the grace of God, has so lavished them. Not because Jesus had to, but because Jesus wanted to. And that we come and we respond not because we have to, but because we want to. Somebody sent me a devotional that they had read in a newsletter, and it said this: if you think about it, a have to is a quite negative phrase. It signifies a duty and a responsibility, an obligation, or better yet, a chore we don't really want to do. In reality, we should be using words that express our gratitude, our thanksgiving for even the most mundane of things. After all, there are many others in the world that are dying to do some of the things we feel like we have to do. There's people in this world that they are dying. They would love to have to go to work. They'd love to have to take care of their children. They'd love to have to love on their family. They'd love to have to give to their church. But no, it's not have to's, it's want to's. From now on, this person says, I think from now on I'm going to try to best replace my have to with I want to or I get to. It's in appreciation of the simplest things that we're reminded of the grace that has been given and the joy that we should find in everything we get to do. Free-willed offerings, our life being lived in a want to, not in a have to. That changes everything. I want to worship God. I don't have to worship God. I want to. I want to. And so do you. So do you if you're a believer in Christ. Your deepest desire, it's called the new covenant. The new covenant has placed the Holy Spirit in your heart. So that now that the Holy Spirit's in your heart, that he gives you a desire that there's springs of living water bubbling up. And so that you want to, that the Spirit moves you. Your greatest desire as a believer in Christ is to walk with Jesus. Your greatest desire as somebody who doesn't believe in Christ is maybe to run from Jesus. But if you know Jesus is Savior, your greatest desire is a want to. And our Christian life, if your Christian life is in the have to category, please, 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 get on your face before God and ask him to change it. Because if you've been having to for a long time, bitterness has got a root. But if you've been wanting to for a long time, a smile comes on your heart and soul. And these free will offerings were want to's, not have to's. It says that everyone is invited to be a part of the story. They were all invited, but do you know what? They didn't all come. They didn't all come. In Exodus 35, verse 5 through 9, it says that they gave gold and goat's hair. It says, from what you have taken, what you have, take an offering to the Lord, and everyone who is willing, I'm going to come back to that, is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet, yarn, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, hides of sea cows. On it goes. Gold the rich gave. Goat's hair, you brushed a goat and you got the hair and you gave it. The poor could give that. Everyone was invited to be a part of the story. Everyone was invited. Everyone could bring their free will offerings, but it says that not everyone did. Not everyone came. In that verse 5 of Exodus chapter 35, the previous chapter, just listen. Everyone who is willing brought the free will offering. See, there's people all throughout Scripture that have the opportunity placed before them. And when the opportunity is placed before them to be a name that is written about in the Bible, to be one of the ones that followed and went out, there's always a choice. And the choice that some people make is they choose not to participate. And they say, God, you've placed it before us, but in my choice, I'm going to choose over here not to participate in where you're leading and where God's going. I'm going to choose not to do that. Then there's others that choose to participate, everyone that was willing. And you know what happens when God's plan has those choices before it? God's plan continues to move. God's plan continues to move. Mary gave birth to Jesus. Though the innkeeper could have been written down as saying, and the innkeeper took someone out of the suite in Bethlehem and placed the best pillow under her head. And this innkeeper did this and that, and on it goes. But we don't hear that about the innkeeper. We hear that about the Good Samaritan. We said, no, you give this to this person that is hurt. Here's the money. And if there's anything else that's needed, you tell me when I come back on my journey. There's always a choice and a free will offering to participate or not participate. And those who were willing stepped forward and they moved. And they moved in such a way that they gave every morning. They gave a free will offering every morning. It says at the end of verse 3, back in the scripture, we're talking about verse 36. And the people continued to bring their free will offerings. Now you know what that is. Morning after morning. I was thinking about morning time. You know what morning time is? Morning time is when you do the things you have to and do the things you love to. Morning time is when you do the things you can't live without. You brush your teeth. You can't live without that. Hopefully, I hope you understand that. You take a shower. You put on your clothes. You fix your hair. You get ready. It's the things, oh, I can't leave my house without my makeup. I can't leave my house without brushing my teeth. You step forward. It's the things you can't do without. That's what you do in the morning. And then when Saturday morning comes along, what do? You do the things you love. You get that paper and that cup of coffee and you sit in that chair and you read the newspaper. You get your Bible out. Our house on Saturday mornings, we have chocolate chip pancakes is what we do. We love to do it. It's great. It's not a have to, it's a want to. It's a pleasure. It's a joy. That's what happens in the morning. The morning is when you do the things you can't live without or do the things that you absolutely love to do. Those are what happen in the morning. The drudgery comes at about 2 in the afternoon. But the morning is that special time. You know what? They gave their free offerings, free will offerings when? In the morning. In the morning. Because they knew they couldn't live without God, and they knew that they'd love to be a part of the story of what God was doing. And now let's look at what God did. God does something so amazing in verse 4 and 5. Look on the screens and look back at your Bible. In verse 4 and 5, so all the skilled craftsmen, remember last week, who gave us skill but God? All the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary, they left their work. And they said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded to be done. Then Moses gave an order that they sent the word out throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because they had already done what they already had was more than enough to do the work. Moses had to restrain the people from giving more. We're not there yet. I can't restrain you yet. On November 18th, I might say, restraint, hold back, quit giving. But we're not there yet. We're about 8 million shy of that. But the people gave so much. They took one thing and they said, I can give that. And wow, I could give that. And I could give that. And man, here it is. And I just want to bring it to the Lord so much that it was more than enough. God provides more than enough. You have more than enough forgiveness in Christ. You have more than enough blessing in Christ. I have more than enough grace in Jesus. God provides more than enough for everything. And so the people of God, symbolizing the givingness of God, they provide more than enough. It happens like that. More than enough. This one little boy was named Robert Hill, and he lived in Italy. And his dad was stationed in the army, and he read about some work that was going on in Africa, and he wanted to help. And so he decided that he was going to save up enough money to buy one bottle of aspirin. He saved up enough money to buy one bottle of aspirin. He wrote a letter to the Air Force. His dad was in the Army, but he figured the Air Force can do this. So he wrote a letter to the Air Force and said, could you drop one bottle of aspirin to this clinic that I read about there in Africa? Well, the Air Force got excited about it. And a radio station, they told a radio station, the radio station started putting it on the air. And before long, the attitude of this little boy spread and they delivered 4 1/2 tons of medical supplies. About $400,000 worth of medical supplies were given freely by the thousands of good-hearted people that heard about this one little boy. The man that was in charge of that clinic said, "I never thought one child could do so much." One person stepped forward in faith, and then other folks jumped along, and as they jumped along, it became more than enough. I remember in Breakaway, the ministry I did in College Station, it was about the end of the year, kind of a December time of year. We had $75 in the bank account. $75 in the bank account. And somebody was praying for me the other day, and they said, "Lord, I thank you that you prepared Greg for this capital campaign," because he was in a capital campaign every day within Breakaway. That was true. I didn't think about it like that, but that was true. We got on our knees and we prayed and we just asked God that God would speak. Can God speak? He can. And $22,000 came in the next week. That was so fun to just check the mail. Just watch God do his work, what he does, how he does it. An amazing thing. Hudson Taylor, the famous missionary, he was going to China in a boat. And they began to have no wind. It was a sailboat, and the boat began to drift towards some cannibal islands. And you could see the cannibals off to the side just saying, "Yum, yum, 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 here we come." And so the captain got a little bit scared, and he said, I want you to pray that God would send us wind. And Hudson Taylor said, "Then you put up the sails." And the captain said, "I will not put up sails until there's wind. I won't be embarrassed to put up sails when there's no wind." Hudson Taylor said, "Until you put up sails, I will not pray." So the man put up sails. Hudson Taylor began to pray. I bet you can guess the end of the story. Till finally the captain came and knocked and said, "Hudson Taylor, Mr. Taylor, quit praying. We've got too much wind. It's tearing the sails apart." God gives more than enough. He gives more than enough. I read about a church that the pastor, they joined everybody together in an agrarian society, and they said, "Let's pray for rain." And everybody got together to pray for rain. They began to seek and ask God, "Would you bring rain? Would you bring rain?" And then the pastor said, "We've been praying for rain, but I want to know who in the congregation brought their umbrella to church." See, because when you're going to pray for rain, you got to bring your umbrella. Because God's going to show up. And if you're asking for rain, then you better be ready, because God is the one that brings rain so much you're not going to be able to make it to your car afterwards. And here Moses comes and he says, "Folks, we've got to do something. We want to build this place to the glory of God, to send people out so that we can be the nation set on the hill with the light so shining brightly." And they step forward in a joyous response. And they gave so much, it actually began to impede the progress instead of promoting the progress. They had so many materials at the work site, they couldn't walk around. And they said, "Guys, we got to stop. God has done too much." And I wonder if God was just saying, "Oh, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. Wait till I send my son Jesus, and you'll see too much. You'll see too much." See, God is calling us to take a step of faith. We have prayed. We have planned. We have inspired. We have informed. And now, congregation, is the moment. The leaders have already stepped forward with almost $12 million. Now, congregation, is the moment to step forward in faith. Many have stepped forward in our church before us. Dr. Burleson, "Give me Texas for Jesus or give me death." This church in downtown, to be able to be wiped out by a hurricane in the early 1900s, to rebuild and say, "Yes, we're back." This church to be able to build its spot. Do you know why we have theater seats? Because the bank wouldn't give the church a loan unless they could flip the church over to make it a theater in case the church folded. That's what it was downtown. And so we had theater seats for that reason. And that banker went to his death seeing that church prosper. Then some of you, even in this room, to step out and say, "I-10, 610. And everybody went, "Where? Oh, you mean that farmland? Houston will never grow to there." Now, how many of us are wishing we would have bought land from here to Katy? I wish you would have too. Then you could donate it back to the church and we would have had more than enough. Vision is stepping out in such a way. Doubt sees the obstacles, faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step, faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? And faith answers, it is I believe. Just a moment, we're going to take a step to be a part of the story. A free will offering from a heart that's received. I want to, not I have to. In a church that has a rich history, church that our church was, the pastor of our church way back when preached the first sermon in the city of Houston, in a tent city on the bayou. That's the story we're a part of. And we get to be a part of it. In your worship guide, there's in there, I'd like for you to grab it at this time, a card and an envelope, and you'll need both in just a moment. This is our commitment card, and I want to tell you and I want to walk you through this so that you have full understanding of what the direction is and how we're stepping forward in faith. It's got some words there about making a commitment, and I want to draw your attention to the very back here. There's a little grid, and it basically has from goat's hair to gold. The far left column has the total that somebody could give, a dollar a week for 3 years, and that would be $156. Little kids will give that. That's goat's hair, but it's great. It's awesome. It's wonderful. Down to gold, to someone to give $3 million. And it lays it out weekly, monthly, annually, how it goes. Then I want you to open up in the commitment card in the center. And basically, as we walk through, there's some blanks. To the left side, if you know what weekly would be, or monthly, if that's how you've chosen to give, or annually, or a one-time gift, to be able to walk through that spot, you can put that in there. That's not the most important information for us. The right-hand column, where it says total gift, that's the most important information. If you know how that breaks down, then great, break it down. But if not, then write down on the right-hand side the number that God has laid on your heart. And maybe you're still looking over that grid to ask God one more time, is that the number? What has he asked you to do? And in just a moment, we're going to fill this out together. Then it says down there, if it's gifts other than cash, stock, or life insurance, real estate, some things like that, you can check that box and we'll contact you to figure out how to make that happen. And then the bottom, we ask you that you would print so that we can legibly put your name, that we would know your name, that you would put this down and you would fill that out to have that. In just a moment, what's going to happen is we'll play some instrumental music and we'll allow you to fill that out, to fill out that commitment card. Not a have to, a want to. To hold the hand of your spouse or your friend that's with you or just there by yourself. Hold the hand of your kids and get them a teachable moment. And to pray and to ask Jesus to confirm and to say what this is. What is it, Lord? And then as you fill that out, you'll take that, fill that out, and then slip it into this privacy envelope. And then as that privacy envelope, as it slipped in here, just a few moments, I'll call us to walk down front. But we're going to pray. And if you're a leader that's already given at the previous time of last week, 2 weeks ago, I just ask that you would pray. Maybe you want to come down here and pray on the altar. Just pray, get on your knees and pray. You just pray and ask God to move. If you want to come down here with your kids, with your grandkids, whatever, you can do that. That's fine. Be a part of the story. There's a place for everyone. And God wants to speak to our hearts. So now at this time, I'm going to pray, and I'm not going to end with amen. I'm just going to end in Jesus' name, and that'll be our time to be able to say, God, we want to fill this out. This is a significant time, significant time. Let's do this in a spirit of prayer. That's why I say that. That's why I won't end with amen. Let's do it in a spirit of prayer, and then I'll call us forward to make that time of commitment. Father, we come in Jesus' name to a very significant time in the life of our church, in the life of our families, that you, Jesus, would speak. We've been asking for a number, Lord, that you would give us a number in faith, Lord. Gold or goat's hair, Father, you do as you wish. We just want to offer you our best, everything that you have given us, Father, we just respond back and just say, Lord, we love you. Take this time now in a spirit of prayer to pray together. Fill out that time of commitment, that commitment card. Allow Jesus to speak to your heart. He may be moving differently than you thought, changing a number up or down. You speak, God, to our hearts. Just a moment. We'll respond. Jesus Christ is Savior, or you want to come to join our church or to be baptized, I'll be down front as we sing together or continue to bring your commitment. Let's just celebrate what God's doing already. Let's just sing together. If you don't know Christ as Savior, you come at this time. Come to join our church. You've got a great picture this morning what our church is about. As we sing, let's worship, not because we have to, but because we want to. what an amazing day. We're going to do something really fun. We've had some folks that have come to join our church, and we've had, obviously, God has done so many great things in putting this through here of the commitments that are before us. And I want us to do two things, but we're going to do it at one time. We're going to celebrate. And here's what we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate what God's already done. You know what I mean? We don't need to know any numbers before we celebrate. We know God has moved, and we're going to celebrate that. We're also going to celebrate at the same time as Malcolm will lead our folks out that have come to join our church. So I want you to celebrate like you're at a football game, okay? Not like you're at church. Yeah. I even heard some dogs barking in the house. There we go. Wait a minute. Man, that is great. Isn't that fun to just celebrate what God's done? He's done it. He has done it. We've been praying. We've been seeking. We've been just trusting him, and he has done it. So we're going to just thank God. We're going to thank God. We don't need to know how much. Whatever he gives, it's more than enough. It's more than enough. That's how God works. And let me pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we are so grateful, Lord. We thank you that you're able to take fish and loaves and do your great work with it. We are so grateful. That's the kind of God you are. And all of these things, Lord, all of these commitment cards that are here, we just give them to you, Lord. We give them to you. It's not about raising funds. It's about raising faith. And as we step forward in faith, God. And we trust you. We love you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.